With the warmth of the sun came the dust, then flies, and all three bothered Joan. As the miles steadily passed, her nervousness increased. The road left the valley and climbed between foothills and wound into rockier country. Every dark gulch brought to Joan a trembling, breathless spell.
What a place for an ambush.
But the stage bowled on. At last her apprehension wore out and she permitted herself the luxury of relaxing, leaning back and closing her eyes. She was tired, drowsy, hot. There did not seem to be a breath of air. She felt the sting of splinters sent flying by bullets.
Stop! Stop for the Border Legion!
The stage lurched and slipped to a halt.
Both sons of bitches!
The guard fired through the window.
Joan, get down!
Jim threw Joan down on the seat. The body of the guard fell against Joan's knees. Outside, the two men riding shotgun went down. Jim looked out the window.
It's Jesse! Jesse Smith! Stop!
Hold on there, Beanie. Well, damned if it ain't Jim Cleve.
Joel, we played hell!
Joan, are you hurt?
No, only scared.
Joan sat up and looked out to see bandits on foot, guns in hand, and others mounted, all gathering near the coach. Jim opened the door and stepped out.
It's all right, Joan. Come out.
Joan had to climb over the dead guard. The miner and the young man huddled down on their seat.
If it ain't Jim and Kel's girl, Dandy Dale.
Smith dismounted.
Fellas, this means something. Say, youngster, hope you ain't hurt. Or the girl.
No, but that's no thanks to you. Why'd you plug the coach full of lead?
This beats me. Kel sent you out on the stage? Hell, when he gave us the job of holding it up, he didn't tell us you'd be in there. When and where'd you leave him?
Sometime last night. A camp near our cabin. He left Dandy Dale with me, told us to take the stage this morning. I expected him to be in it or to meet us.
Didn't you have no orders?
None, except to take care of the girl till he came. But he did tell me he'd have more to say.
Smith gazed blankly from Cleve to Blicky and then at Goulden. Goulden walked up. Joan followed the glance of his great gray eyes, and she saw the stage driver hanging dead over his seat and the guards lying back of him. The offside horse of the leaders lay dead in his traces, with his mate nosing at him. Goulden leveled his revolver into the coach.
Who's in there? Come out!
The young man stumbled out, hands above his head, pallid and shaking, so weak he could scarcely stand. Then Goulden prodded the bearded miner, who was hunched forward in a heap.
Come out here, you.
Yes, he's plugged, but he ain't cashed. You hear him breathe? He's like a sick horse.
Goulden reached in with a brawny arm, and with one pull, he dragged the miner off the seat and out into the road. There was blood on his neck and hands. Goulden bent over him, tore at his clothes, tore harder at something, and then, with a swing, he held aloft a broad black belt, sagging heavily with gold. He handed the gold belt to the grinning bud and turned to the young man.
Got any gold?
No, I wasn't a miner.
Goulden felt for a gold belt, then stopped at his pockets.
Turn around.
Oh, hell, let him go.
Blicky laid a restraining hand upon Goulden's broad shoulder.
Goul?
Turn around.
For God's sake, don't murder me. I have nothing. No gold, no gun.
Goulden spun him around like a top and pushed him forward. They walked a few steps, then the youth turned and fell on his knees.
Don't kill me.
For God's sake, Goul.
Goulden leveled his revolver on the youth.
Let me pray.
Goul! I ain't gonna let you kill this kid!
Blicky grabbed Goulden's arm and forced it down.
There's no sense in it. We're already spotted back in Alder Creek. Get out of here, kid. Run!
The young man took off like a bat out of hell. The bearded miner was dying. Hurriedly, Joan knelt beside him to lift his head.
Jim, bring me your canteen.
Here.
Thank you. Come now, sir. Just moisten your lips.
But the miner would never have another drop. Joan laid the passenger's head on the ground and stood. The bandits went into businesslike action. Blicky and Smith cut the horses out of their harness. Beady Jones, like a ghoul, searched the dead men. Goulden, with the agility of the gorilla he resembled, clambered over the top of the stage. From under the driver's seat, he hauled a buckskin sack. It was small, but heavy. He threw it down to BD Jones, almost knocking him over. BD hugged the sack. Gul'dan hauled out another sack. This one he threw to the ground. The three men scrambled over it, pushing and jostling each other playfully.
Oh, no you don't.
Ow!
Why, you, I oughta...
It's mine.
Like hell!
They fought, but it was only play. Blicky secured the prize and held it aloft in triumph. Assuredly, he would have waved it had it not been so heavy. Gul'dan drew out two more smaller sacks, which he placed on the seat in front of him. Then the giant, with his arm under the seat, his huge frame bowed, heaved powerfully upon something, and his face turned red. He halted in his tugging to glare at his bandit comrades below. If his great caveman's eyes expressed any feeling, it was analogous to the reluctance manifest in his posture. He regretted the presence of his gang. He would rather have been alone.
Damn.
Gul'dan lifted out a huge buckskin sack. It was tied, placarded, and marked.
100 pounds. Share and share alike.